Good people of God, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did you hear that story that we read earlier in the service? Did you really hear it? Sometimes, if you're like me, it's just like Bible, 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 and it kind of all sounds the same. Every Bible story sounds like every other Bible story, even when the reader is as charismatic as Pastor Rudd. It sometimes just washes over you. But that story is wild. Joseph and Mary lost him. They lost Jesus, the Messiah, the boy whose birth was foretold by choirs of angels. Can you imagine being entrusted with the Son of God and losing him? I find it all oddly comforting, actually. I've lost a kid or two, briefly, in malls and parks and so on. And if you also nurse that secret shame in your heart, I won't ask you to raise your hands, but just give me a little knowing nod in the narthex after worship, especially you dads. But hey, the kids I lost, they weren't saviors of mankind or anything, so I'm doing pretty good parenting-wise, biblically speaking anyways. Mary and Joseph also looked for Jesus for 3 days. Three! And that's after they'd traveled a day's journey out of Jerusalem before realizing he was gone. I know I sound like a broken record, but can you imagine? Seconds drag on when you think your kid is missing. Each tick of the clock measured by like three times as many heartbeats as usual. Luke, the author of the gospel, doesn't tell us what Mary and Joseph were doing during that lengthy interval. The gospel account blithely reports, after 3 days, they found him in the temple. Okay, cool. So probably just a really chill time bopping around Jerusalem then? Now, I'm not able to say how things were different back then and over there. Maybe Mary and Joseph weren't as frantic as you would be today. Maybe the world seemed smaller and safer, and even a big city like Jerusalem more intimate and neighborly. But things couldn't have been that different, because when Joseph and Mary finally find their son Jesus, in the temple no less, where all children lose track of time, Mary gives him a timeless talking to. Why did you treat us like this? Your father and I have been worried sick searching for you. That translates pretty easily across the millennia, doesn't it? Now, there are a couple of ways to read the boy Jesus' response to his mother. Pastor Rudd, dramatic chops and all, I think did a nice job of playing it right down the middle and letting it be up to the listener to decide. If you take it one way, Jesus speaks with the ageless wisdom and perspective of the Word, capital W. The Word, you remember, who was in the beginning with God, who indeed was God, the Word through whom all things were made, the Word who became flesh in Bethlehem. In that reading, Jesus says to Mary, "Why were you searching for me, Mother? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" Of course, it's also possible that this is a 12-year-old boy getting a little smart with his mother. "Why are you freaking out? Didn't you know I'd be here? Are you comfortable with that? Are we comfortable with the idea of a sassy Jesus? A Jesus who changes, grows, matures over time. Are you comfortable with the possibility that the baby Jesus cried at 2 o'clock in the morning when Mary was done? Did toddler Jesus ever collapse, screaming on the floor when Joseph gave him the wrong spoon? Could the adolescent Jesus occasionally be a smart aleck? Or do we feel it's necessary to believe that when God became flesh, that was it? He was done becoming. That he arrived in a perfect and fully realized way. That Jesus in the manger was identical to Jesus on the cross. Well, we know that Jesus did in fact change over time. We hear that in our reading this morning, which concludes, "And Jesus increased in wisdom, in years, and in divine and human favor." He grew. He learned. He became more admirable to his fellow humans. That's us. And this is really interesting. This is the real puzzler, the mind bender. He became more favored by God, with whom Jesus shares his being. Well, I actually like the SAS interpretation. Here's why. There are many voices within Christianity that would have you believe that the good news of the gospel is that you need to find Jesus, but at least he's pretty easy to find. I think that merits some sassing, and who better to deliver it than the tween-aged Jesus? It's as if he's saying to us all these years later, "Why are you searching for me? I came here for you." Here's a more modern spoofing of that notion, and I'll try not to fumble it. It is an Ole and Lena joke, which I deliver to you in honor of Kurt Calland. Ole's spending the evening in the pub, and Lena calls around and asks the barkeep to send him home. It's high past time. So Ole stumbles out the door, and he's on the path home, which unfortunately passes right next to the river, and it's sort of precarious, and he might stumble in, and then, of course, the worst thing imaginable does happen. A preacher sees him and says hello and asks him, "Ole, are you ready to find Jesus?" And Ole, fortified by liquid courage, says, "Let's do it!" And so the preacher grabs him and dunks his head under the water and pulls him up and says, "Have you found Jesus?" And Ole says, "No." So he dunks him again and he pulls him out and he says, "Have you found Jesus?" And Ole says, "No." So now the preacher thinks, let's really give it to him. He dunks him, holds him under for 20 seconds, really shakes the sin out of him, pulls him up. "Have you found Jesus?" And Ole, coughing and spluttering and choking, says, "No, no, but hold on. Are you sure this is where he went in?" That joke has gotten a little longer every service. So thanks be to God, we're done. But all jokes aside, this isn't to say that we shouldn't follow Jesus or love Jesus or even, to the best of our limited ability, try to imitate Jesus. That is what it means to be a disciple, after all. But if, after all Jesus did, our version of saving grace depends on our searching for him, we've robbed Jesus, the King of Kings, of his power and authority. And we've deprived ourselves of the enormous comfort of trusting in him. In other words, we've deprived ourselves of faith. Near the end of our story, the author of this gospel includes a note that strikes me as odd no matter how many times I read it. After everything that's gone on, the shock, the days of searching, the miles journeyed, that strange mixture of suppressed fears finally exploding to the surface and mingling with relief that so many parents know. After all that, Luke writes, Mary treasured all these things in her heart. How? What? What did she treasure? Why? I don't understand, but I like it. I like that very much, even if I don't understand. Rather than spinning our spiritual wheels, mounting up our own anxiety, trying to find Jesus, we are free to simply treasure him. That gratitude is the essence of faith and one of its most precious benefits. Jesus is a treasure, the rare, unique treasure that cannot be lost or hidden, but indeed finds you right where you are. So, why are you searching for him? Like the boy said, you know where he must be, in his father's house, and he has prepared a room for you. Amen.